Tignan. Ha. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to everybody here and everybody streaming. Just really want us to stay in this atmosphere of worship. It's beautiful. And I don't know about you, but I come to church to meet with God. I come here to hear His voice. The fellowship is great. Meeting all of you and meeting new people is great. But the primary purpose in my heart is to meet with God. And really want to encourage you to just be quiet. There's so much going on in our lives. We're going to talk about making room for God. And Yolanda, I'm going to apologize now. I'm probably not going to be as structured as a slide. So there's so much going on in our lives. I don't know about, you know, what stage. There's some of you that's young and not married. And there's some that's young and then there's... and married, and then you're married with kids, and then you're a little bit older and you've got older kids, or you're like empty nesters like us. You know, there's some, but in each phase of your life there's just so much going on, and it hasn't changed in the last 2,000 years. The only difference is that we can make coffee in 5 minutes now instead of going to the market and finding the beans and coming home and burning the beans and doing the coffee, and it took us 3 days. That's the only thing that changes. We do things quicker, but our lives are still busy. And, you know, God desires so much from us, and not in the sense from that we need to perform. He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. He wants to talk to us. So before I go further, let's just pray quickly again. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus to the cross, Lord God, so that we can be reconciled back to you, Father, so that we can have a relationship with you, Lord God, not a religion, Lord God, but a relationship, a living relationship, Lord God, where we can know you, where we can talk to you, where you can talk to us, Lord God. Holy Spirit, thank you so much that you are here this morning. You are always with us and in us, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll come this morning and just speak to us, Lord. Our ears are open, Lord. Our eyes, Lord, they're open. We want to see, Lord. We want to hear, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you are continually speaking, Lord. You've always been speaking, Lord. You're always at work, Lord God. It's us, Lord God, that are sometimes too busy, Lord God, and we just don't hear, and we just don't see, Lord God. We don't access your heart, Lord God. We pray you forgive that. Forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for just, yeah, getting on with life, Lord God, and forgetting about you. Lord, you are such a good God. We're just so grateful, Lord God, to serve a God like you, God. There is no other God like you, Lord God. The God of love, Lord God, a kind God, a good God.
Good morning, church. I just feel I've got a word. It's Psalm 127. I'll quickly read it in Afrikaans and then in English. The first two verses says, as die Here die huis nie bou nie, soek die bouwers te vergeefs daaraan. As die Here oor die stad nie waghou nie, bly die wagte te vergeefs wakker. Te vergeefs dat julle vroeg opstaan, eerst ook later is kom, kos eet wat moeisaam verkry is. Net sowel gee hy dit aan sy geliefdes in die slaap. And the English says, unless the Lord builds the house, and those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And while we were singing this, we make room for you. I just experienced that the Lord is asking me and us, are we building our lives with full schedules, and we think we need to build our life with a full schedule. So we have to do this, we've got a job, we've got social activities, but then we don't create space for the Lord to actually to build His house in our lives. I'll just quickly pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, that that we will slow down, Lord, and that we will really allow you to build our lives and the houses in our lives, Lord, and this house as well, and your house, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Alan. We go to 2 slides. So it's really what God is saying over and over and over, that we need to do things differently. And I want to say we all grew up, each of us grew up in a certain way. We're expecting God to pitch in a certain way. And because of that, we've almost liturgy. That's the liturgy, the sermon thing, the church flow. There's a church flow. There's a small group flow. There's a life flow. And we become so structured sometimes that God can't come into our lives because there's just no room for him to come in, because our expectations are just so rigid, there's just no room. It's like somebody, I remember this, at some stage I stopped drinking coffee many, many years ago, 25 years ago. And then after that, I got married, and then my wife and I went to visit some of my family, and I got there, you know, and my aunt is very loving, but you know what, she didn't ask me, do you want coffee or not? It's like just this process, you know. Everybody drinks coffee, so everybody's going to get coffee. So it's one of the few times in the 25 years that I actually took a couple of sips of coffee, because I didn't want to offend her. But it sort of reminded me, when I was thinking through this, it's like, you know, it sort of makes you uncomfortable in a way to do something you don't want to do. And then, you know, conversation doesn't necessarily flow as nicely after that. Just simple things. So the problem we face, like I said, it's age old. Jesus' time, people were also busy. It's just a different type of busy, a different schedule to life. If you think about the disciples, they didn't have cars. Jesus didn't couldn't just jump on a bike and go from one town to another. You had to walk. And sometimes it's like a day's walk, 2 days walk. You know, there's other things that kept them busy. The problem is not the busyness and all those things that keeps us busy and that creates all these things. I've got a list down here. You know, we can talk through this. And I've got church there at the bottom also, because church can also just be something we do without, you know, just do the activities and not really. It just keeps us busy. And if you look at the right, there's so much going on in our lives. We've got anxiety and all these things happening. And the reason is we're just so busy. We just don't have headspace. I love this in Genesis 3, 8 to 9. Adam and Eve just sinned. And then the Bible says God used to come to them in the evening. And even that evening when they sinned, God still came to them and called out to Adam. You know, Adam, where are you? I'm sure you remember the story. They put together some fig leaves and were hiding in the bushes. But God still came to them. Conversation. If you read the text, it doesn't sound like God is coming there with just instructions, you know? In the quiet of the evening, God came. It was conversation. If you think about Abram, and God came to Abram, there's times it was conversation, not just instructions. God wants our heart. And I probably should have said that in the beginning. Ross is not here because he's preaching somewhere else. So he's not on the beach or just taking a day off. Just put that out there. So when we think about, you know, Jesus' life also, we see this thing that he talks to his Father all the time. He takes our time all the time. He goes out in the middle of the night. He had a routine, he had a rhythm to go out and meet with the Father. He made room. And the thing about Jesus is there's so many examples, and I just, you know, in the time we have, we just can't touch on those. I've got like 22 minutes, maybe 20 minutes left. But Jesus, there's a few times where people came to him and there was this crowds, And then he said to his disciples, you know, we're going to withdraw here. We're not going to go further. We're going to stop here. Even though there's still a need, we're going to stop here and we're going to go aside. We're going to go onto the boat or we're going to go into the mountain. You know, Jesus understood that his power doesn't come from just himself. His power comes from the Father, and that he needed to be in sync with his Father. And he did what his Father told him to do. In our lives, it's like this fear of missing out. We just do everything. You know, like my kids in high school, primary school, end of primary school, they literally probably did every sport, you know? I don't know. It feels to that. It feels to me like that. Even university, it's like they just, all these committees, all this stuff going on, there's so much going on, and it all sounds so good, but it just means that there's no room, there's no wiggle room. You committed from 6 in the morning till 9 at night or 10 at night, this is committed. Like there's not 5 minutes space. I've been married, like I said, for 25 years. It's almost 25 years, almost 25. A few months shy of 25. And, you know, over this time, you know, we talk about relationships, and you understand this, that, guys, if you see a girl, you need to pursue her, you know? And after you get married, you still need to talk to your wife, you still need to converse, you still need to understand her heart. It doesn't stop there. And the same with us when we get saved, you know, we walk into the kingdom of God, but there's so much that God wants to give us. There's so much that God wants to show us. He really wants to be part of our whole life. In the Jewish mind, it was never like going to the synagogue and then I farmed and then I, you know, slaughtered animals, or thinking of what farmers do, harvest the wheat. You know, everything they did, work including, was holy in the sense that they did that all. As part of their faith, as they walk with God. It wasn't like I go to church on a Sunday morning and the rest of the week is just the rest of the week. And then next week I come to church on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday evening and that's it. And in between maybe I go to a life group on a Wednesday. There's so much more. God wants to be involved in every day of our lives. He wants to speak into our lives. And he wants to touch every area of our life and bring peace. And Ross is preached about this last year. You know, I'm sure you understand shalom and the peace and really seeking the peace in our lives, peace in the city. So if we think about if I think about my life and how busy I am most of the time, so I haven't arrived either, don't worry. God has spoken to us to me also last year to say, slow down, slow down, slow down. You're doing too many things. Make space. But if I think about myself, if I have to be brutally honest with myself, the only reason why in certain instances I do not do that is because my priorities are wrong. And I was thinking in the week, as I was preparing, you know, we always think that you know, we're going to live for another 100 years, you know, you feel like you never, you know, it's someday out there, you know, but if you were to think about, just force yourself for a little while to say, you've got 3 months to live, what will you do with the 3 months? I think it'll help you a little bit to see where your heart is, because some people, they just want to travel the world for 3 months, whatever, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight for relationships? Are you going to spend time with your family? What are you going to do? What is your priorities? Because our priorities, unfortunately, determines our choices. And it's not rocket science. You can talk to anybody, any kid, any person. Whatever is priority for us gets the most time. And therefore, we need to really look hard at our priorities. And I need to look at my priorities because my priorities determines what choices I make. And if God is not a priority, it is very simple. I'm not going to make those choices. The same with anything in life. If you have to study for something, and in church there are many people that are still studying, you know, you have to make a choice to spend a lot of time after hours, and you have to sacrifice social time, for example, social media, because you can't be a social animal, go be with your friends every evening if you're doing an MBA. It's slightly tough. You need to spend time, and you need to dedicate time to that to be able to achieve that. And with God, it's just the same. We need to make time with God, to spend time with God, to really get to know His heart. You know, there are many religions out in the world, and for some of those, you can really... Did it die? Oh, it's still on. Oh, sorry. Many religions out in the world, and for some of them, you know, you can just tick a couple of boxes, and you can sort of almost, like I say, progress. You know, but in Christianity, it's not like that progression, because our progression isn't like that. We just get to know God better. We get to be more intimate with Him over time as we spend time with Him. So that is why if you look at people that are 80 years old, and there's many of that 18 year, that are 80 years old, that when you meet them, their lives are soaked with Jesus. They just, when you walk in, they, you know, they just walking Bibles, they just so full of life, godly life, because they spent a lifetime with God. And there's other Christians that are also 80, and when you meet them, you don't have the same experience because simply they have not spent enough time with God. And it's our choice. It's really our choice. God wants to. Like He went to Adam and Eve in the garden after they messed up big time, brought sin into the world, He still went out for conversation. In our lives, there are so many expectations that are ungodly also, and pressure that are ungodly, that is not from God, that's from this world, that's from this age, and we have to filter through that and work through that and slow down. You cannot work, and I'm talking to myself also because my wife's sitting there keeping me honest, cannot work 16 hours a day and have time for everything else, you know, at a time. It's impossible. So you have to prioritize. You have to think about those things. If you want to leave a legacy, you know, you can leave a financial legacy. You can do all those things. But you know what? The financial legacy, unfortunately, will get you nothing after life from God. Yes, you can sow into the kingdom big time, and you will get a reward for that. But for the bulk, if you look at this world we live in, the enormous chase after wealth, status, all those things fall to the ground when we step over the line into heaven, into eternity. It just means absolutely nothing. And I love this. If you think about I can't speak much for the English culture because I'm pretty much Afrikaans. But if I look at the Afrikaans culture, there's so much status in terms of the, you know, where you live, the car, how you studied, all those things create status for you. And I love when I was a kid at school, we had a janitor, and it's like a beautiful thing for me in that black community there. The status for him was not linked to his job. It was linked to who he was. He was a great man. He had did amazing things in the community. He was a leader in the community. He was able to do that even though he was a janitor. In our Afrikaans circles, it would be very difficult because the first thing they're going to ask you is, so what is your degree, sir? You know, what's your family name? Where do you come from? You know, when it comes to God, none of those family, like Paul says, it all counts for nothing. All your family status, all those things count for nothing when it comes to God. Yes, there's blessings that come through that, but it doesn't give you more rights. It does not give you a higher status in the kingdom of God. We are all 100% equal. That's the beauty of the gospel. And unfortunately, in South Africa for the last... from 1904, we unfortunately peddled the incorrect gospel for 50 years. We allowed God, we allowed government, you know, that's a failing of the church. We should have stood up then and said, this is not right. There's so many things that we can do better. And if you look forward, God has not given up on South Africa. I know some of you may have, but God hasn't. God has a plan. You know, God is always in control, even if things are out of control, and even if Eskom gives us gray hairs and load shedding. Still, God is still in control. I love David. He says in Psalm 27:4, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. So we think house of the Lord, like us going to a Sunday. No, he's not talking about that necessarily, because in the Old Testament, the presence of God was in the house of the Lord. So he was going to the presence of God. We are in a position where you can access the presence of God in your bedroom, in your closet, in your bathroom. We don't have that restriction. So what David is actually saying, I want to dwell in the presence of the Lord. That's what he's saying. That's so beautiful. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. In just a little bit later on in the psalm, it actually says, David is saying, God said to him, seek my face. And then his reply was, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And God is still saying today, seek my face. Seek me. Seek my face. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to talk to you. I want to share my heart with you. It hasn't changed. Before Jesus came, there was this disconnect because nobody knew who the Father is. In Jewish, we all knew the Trinity. There's a triune God. But nobody knew the Father. Jesus came to introduce the Father to us. And he's saying, seek my face. And to be able for us to do that, we need to make room for him so that we can seek his face. And the sons of Korah in Psalm 42:1, you know, this old psalm, that old in the sense that I can remember it from when I was very, very young. As the deer pants, as the deer thirsts for the water brook, so pants and thirsts my soul for you, O God. It's like to long for. There's also like a cry of the heart, a cry of the heart to for God. So this morning, if you've got no cry, no desire whatsoever, then that's the place you need to start. You have to start somewhere. The devil comes and tells us that we are not good enough, that we don't have the credentials. He's a liar, a thief, and a destroyer. He cannot speak the truth. Jesus is the truth. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are worth more than your weight in gold. It cannot be counted. There's no price on your head. You are invaluable because you belong to God. You are good enough. Each one of you sitting here are good enough. And it's not because I say so. Because God said so. You are good enough. Yes, we are not perfect. But we are good enough to do the things for God because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of the blood. Because when we enter God's presence, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And God, we can become righteous and sanctified. And we can enter God's presence, and everything that is bad about us don't detract from us. All our holes, all our problems, all our sins, it doesn't stop us. God doesn't come like a, you know, mosquito and just squishes us when we walk into his presence. Because of the blood of Jesus, we've got so much. We are so privileged people. We are so privileged. We live in a dispensation that Moses and Abraham longed for. We have access to the Holy Spirit every single day, every minute of every day. Not even the prophets had that. They had times when the Holy Spirit would come over them. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. And I always thought that be still there means just like be still, be quiet, you know, that sort of thing. It doesn't really, it talks about that. It's interesting. I read through a number of commentaries, and they all say pretty much the same thing. It's about stop arguing with me. stop fighting with me and surrender. And at times, there's times to fight, to have, you know, discussion with God and say these things. But I think the thing is, it's not that one, the fact that God says you can't come and argue with me about something. It's the fact that we are argumentative. And that we come with these things and with all these fights, and we've got, you know, wars going on in our head. You know, we're fighting with the people around us and they're oblivious. They don't even know that we are fighting with them. So be still is like stop arguing, surrender and know that He is God. Okay. So when it comes to intimacy, there's a few things that we need to think of. We're not going to cover those because we don't have time. The one thing I just want to talk about is holiness. The word says, without holiness, we will not see God. And holiness is not perfection. I think very often people talk about being perfect, being without sin. Now, holiness is not that. Holiness is being separate, being separated to God. If you think about the Old Testament, God gave them all these laws. They're not supposed to eat this, do this, you know, all these prescriptions. And just by following all of those, they were different to anybody around them. Because the things that they were not supposed to eat was being used in ritual sacrifice or whatever within those nations around them. Just the law itself made sure that Israel was separate from the world that they were living in by the things that God had asked them to do. And in today's world, when we talk about busyness, there's the other thing that we have to talk about also, and that is talking about this confirmation to the world. Because when we seek God and we want intimacy, we in the world cannot be one. And that's something, think about it, take some time out, study it. What is the difference between you and the person next to you that's working where you're working that does not serve God? What is the difference? How do you live your life and how do they live their lives? And this is the challenge. Our lives do not look very much very different in general from the people that do not serve God. And maybe you're all having perfected it in your homes, in your lives, but we really need to think about how we live our lives and be deliberate and go back. We've talking about this for a few years, getting into the rhythms of God. We've got the grow groups, all these things, you know, make use of it, grow. God wants us to grow. And God also wants us to grow in intimacy with Him. And if we are not pursuing, if we are not separate from the world, we cannot grow in intimacy. It's like if I'm married, but I've got three girlfriends on the side, you know, those sort of things. Not you can talk about whether it's good or bad. I'm just saying, I'm not going to spend time with my wife. I'm going to be busy with those. It's like we've got certain ways we do things and we spend time, but at the end, we don't make room for God. Because it comes back to that first thought. We've got all these preconceived ideas of exactly how God want to pitch in my life. I love the fact, you know, like in the Old Testament, the priests, they had to light the candle every day in a certain way. You know? God likes rhythms, doing something. If you're not connecting with God at the moment, set a time, spend time with Him, dedicate that time to Him. If you're not experiencing Him right now, I can guarantee you, if you see God, if you draw near to God, that's what the Word says, He will draw near to you. If you create space for Him, for His presence will come. What we are doing is, we're having meeting. We set aside quiet time for 1 hour, one day, and we say, God didn't pitch, and then 13 years later, we try again. You know, we can really learn from other denominations of faith that are really just faithful in terms of just doing the right thing over many years. And we need to learn that as a movement, as the time we're in, our generation, really to stick to the rhythms that God has shown you. Make room for God and stick to it. There's a few things I just want to mention. So Ross did talk about this at the family today quickly on making room for God. So I just want to say we have intercession. So we're talking about meeting with God, learning how to pray. There's always a grow group. I'm not sure if this time around about praying and learning how to pray. If you do not know how to pray, come to intercession. It's Tuesday mornings, Thursday evenings. There's reflective services. If you do not know how to be quiet, come to reflective service 8 to 9 in the morning. There are tools for you to learn. And you can practice the reflective service in your life at home. And if you wanted to join the worship team, obviously you can join the worship team as well for the worship. But make room for God. It's something that's not going to happen unless we make a conscious decision to do it, to make room for God. So Paul writes and he says, "For I see from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" There is power in doing communion. So this morning, we are doing communion. The ushers, please just hand out the communion. When we break bread, when we do communion, we are walking in a covenant relationship with God. And part of that covenant, we do communion to celebrate that. It's celebrating the death of Jesus. It says that we must remember him, celebrate his death or what he has done. When we think about what he has done, his blood flowed so that we can be saved, that we can be physically healed, and that we can be emotionally and mentally healed and be forgiven and have freedom. You know, Jesus died for everything. And when we take communion, so if there's something that's hindering you from, entering into a relationship with God, or entering into a deeper, more intimate relation with God, the word says that if we confess our sins to one another, he's faithful not just to forgive us, but to heal us. That is one of the practices that we are not good at. We've lost that. We need to come get it back. Confess your sins to one another. It's not because it's something pretty to say. It's because it's in the word and it works. So if there's something, just confess it in front of the two or three people you're meeting with, sitting with, and just say, "God, this is my issue. Please forgive me. I am guilt-ridden. I messed up 3 months ago or over Christmas, and I have not spoken to you in 55 days. You know, like the Roman Catholic Church in the movies. You know, coming there, it's now 3 years and 5 months and 2 days since I've been here last time around. Just bring that to God. God is, I can't say this enough. God is interested in you. He wants a conversation with you. So just open the door. Bring your heart before him. And he will forgive you. And he will come. That's his promise. He says, if we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. And the last thing is, as you sit in your groups of three or four, not more than four, because otherwise you're not going to have enough time, and you've only got 12 minutes to 11 o'clock. So in a group of four, you've got 2 minutes each. But just think about one thing, just one thing, that you can change in your life in the next week that will create more room for God. Just one thing. just one thing. Not 20 things, just one thing. And say to the people in your group, I'm going to do this one thing this week. Doesn't have to be, and don't start with, I'm going to do 4 hours of quiet time from Monday morning. That's not realistic. Start with 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Do something realistic and stick to it. Stick to your commitment. Okay, I'm going to quickly pray for us and close the service. And then at the end, the elders will be in front. If you have prayer needs, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. We believe the Bible. And we believe that God still heals today and delivers. So if you've got anything, whatever it is, just come forward. We'd love to pray with you. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that from your word we can understand, Lord, that you love us, Lord. That Jesus, that you died for us on the cross, Lord God, so that we can have not just salvation and be saved for eternity, Lord, but have relationship with you, Father. Have relationship with you, Jesus. Have relationship with you, Holy Spirit. And be able, Lord God, to know you and have a fulfilled life, Lord God, and live an abundant life, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll convict us, Lord. We are missing the mark, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always quiet. It's not condemnation, Lord. You never condemn us, Lord. You just bring it. And just, Father, we pray for grace for us to just respond and to confess and to repent, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.